Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Be seated. In our scripture this morning, we have a couple of stories of God calling people into some sort of ministry. Samuel to be a prophet of sorts, and Philip and Nathanael to be disciples. And calling is not something that we know a lot about of in our world these days, or we don't talk about it in that kind of the same kind of way. For many years, I served on the committee that works with people who feel called to ministry. It's called a candidacy committee. And one of the things that we were charged to do as a candidacy committee is to figure out two things. Every person who is called to something has a call that comes from within, but they also have a call that comes from outside of them, meaning that you feel called to what it is that God is calling, but also that other people can see in you that you're called to that ministry as well. And so sometimes the hard work of that committee was to either look at someone and say, you know, I understand you feel called to this, but none of the people around you seem to see this. So how is it that we figure this out as we move forward together? And sometimes it's the other way around, that tons of people are saying, go to seminary, go be a pastor. And they're like, yeah, everybody's telling me this, but I don't quite sure if I feel it myself. So one of the ways we talk about calling in our world today, I think what's important about that, and what's important about that, which will, I think I'll kind of help illuminate in the next image as well, is that we hear God's call in community. We need other people around us to help us to discern what is God's call, what is God calling us to in any moment. Because if we just do that work on our own without anyone else's help, we might turn what we think is right into God's call. Does that make some sense? Sometimes you need to say it out loud to somebody else for somebody else to look at you and go, yeah, I'm not quite sure that's what you're hearing. But that's not always easy work. In these days, I think many of us know we're divided. We're divided as a nation. We're divided among people. And I have a classmate from high school. And right now, he is so far down the rabbit hole of conspiracy that I almost can't read most of what he writes. Because it's just so kind of far out there and so just doesn't sound quite right. But what's interesting is that in the midst of all of this, he feels as if this is what God is calling him to, that he's never had a relationship with God, so all of a sudden now in this moment, in this place that he's at, way down the rabbit hole that he's in, he feels that this is what God is calling him to. Now, I'm not going to argue whether this is God's call or not, but I will argue at least that he's got other people who are encouraging that. There's other people who have said, yes, we see this as, this is what God is calling you to do. And I don't know what to make of it yet, other than I've had the experience before in my life that sometimes when people recognize what they thought was God's call and finds out it's not true, they need someone there that'll at least listen to them in the moment. I don't know if that's going to be what's needed, but at least that's maybe what I can be ready to do. We have two stories of God calling two people into ministry. We hear first this call of Samuel, a young boy who doesn't understand that it's God who's calling. We're even told that as a people, they don't hear a lot of visions in the day, that it didn't seem like God was very active in their world in those moments. And so Samuel had no idea who was offering or issuing this call to him. It takes several times of God calling and Samuel going to Eli, who was his mentor, to say, what do you need? Before Eli finally realizes that it is the Lord that is calling. When Eli finally figures it out, he says to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Without Eli's help, Samuel wasn't going to know that it was the Lord that was calling. And it's interesting in this story, as you put it all in context, as you read the other parts of it, is that it's a little surprising that Eli recognized it was God's calling as well. Because Eli wasn't the best of priests. He had two sons that were running amok, doing all kinds of nasty and dangerous things in the church around them. And Samuel's call, the call that Samuel gets, eventually will be to speak out against Eli, to speak out against Eli and his family and all the things that they have been doing. When we receive a call from God, God is often calling us, can be calling us, to difficult work. In this scripture, at least, when God calls, we hear the response first that Eli gives over and over again of, here I am. And those words, here I am, are important because they are used throughout scripture as a way that we are to respond to God's calling. Actually, one of the little jokes that I like to play on people is sometimes I'm up there in the balcony and they don't know I'm in here. And so they come in and they start working around and I'll say something to them. And they kind of startle because, you know, where is this voice coming from? And I jokingly usually say to them, you do realize you're supposed to respond with, here I am, Lord. Not that I'm their Lord, but when you don't know who's calling, that's the way you should respond. But in Scripture, we have tons of instances of this term, here I am, being used and people following what God is calling them to. Abraham says, here I am, in Genesis 22:1, and God calls him to the mountaintop with Isaac. Jacob says, here I am, in Genesis 31:11, God called him to return home to face Esau. Moses says, here I am, in Exodus 3:4, and God called him back to Egypt. Isaiah said, here I am, and God called him to prophesy judgment in Isaiah 6:8. Ananias says the Greek version of here I am in Acts 9:10, before God commanded him to heal Saul, the arch-prosecutor of the church. When one says, "Here I am to God in Scripture," one is about to be called to a journey of difficult service. And Samuel needed Eli's guidance to hear God's call to do the difficult task ahead. Samuel could not discern the voice of God on his own. And then we move to the gospel. In the gospel for today, we have another set of stories of disciples being called. We hear first that Philip receives Jesus' invitation to follow me. But before he does that, he has to go and talk to Nathanael first and tell Nathanael about this one who he has met, this one who it seems that all the hopes and the dreams are tied into. And Nathanael at first is thinking, "What are you talking about? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip says a very important phrase to the Gospel of John, and I think a very important phrase that we can use a little more frequently. And that phrase is, "Come and see. Come and see." If you've ever spent any time around a small child, if you read my devotion from Monday, I've told this story, but I'll tell it to you again. Just recently, we got to spend a week with our first foster child. And he's 2.5. And so everything in his world is a new discovery. Everything in his world is a new discovery. And even though he can't say the words, "Come and see," yet, you know exactly what he's thinking because he does this. Any parent knows, any grandparent knows, when you see this, it's an invitation to come and see. Come and see whatever it is that I have found, that I see it as exciting, that I want to tell you about, that I want to show you, whatever it is. The invitation to come and see. And for a 2.5-year-old, they're curious about everything. They're curious about everything in the world around them. Sometimes they've seen it already, but they see it again, and they're curious about it again, and they're trying to figure out how all of these things fit into their world. And so it's in that excitement, it's in that want to understand that they reach out their hand and they invite you to come and see. And I think what you might also know about this is if you try to ignore them or you try to put them off and this doesn't work, they often will come and grab you by the hand to take you to come and see, because they want to share whatever it is. I wonder about each of us in our own lives of faith. What are we so curious about these days that we would like to invite somebody else to come and see? What are we so excited about? What's stirring up passion within us? What's making us excited that we would want to say to somebody else, "Come and see, come and experience this, because I've seen it, it's amazing, and I want you to see it as well." Now, back when we used to be able to go see movies, sometimes you'd see a really good movie, so the first thing you do is you call a friend and say, "You've got to see this movie because it's so good." Or sometimes you're at a sporting event and it turns out to be an amazing game and you say, "I can't believe you weren't there. Like, you didn't come and see, that you didn't get a chance to see this amazing thing that happened." But there's curiosity in that invitation to come and see. As our COVID time keeps extending, and as we've been apart for longer and longer, and part of why I even think it's possible for my friend from high school to be so far down this conspiracy rabbit hole is that we aren't spending enough time with other people. We aren't spending enough time in relationship with those around us. We aren't spending enough time in conversation. We aren't spending enough time speaking to, challenging, encouraging one another. And I have another little bit of fear out of that as well. That my experience sometimes is that right now, if you forget, you know, you're supposed to stay 6 feet from people. If you forget and you get a little too close to someone, it's like they're wearing a rubber ball and they bounce off of you backwards. Have you seen anybody do that? And we're supposed to do that. It's how we're, in a sense, supposed to react. But it's still a little bit strange, a little bit uncomfortable. And one of my fears is that when this is all said and done, when we're said, go out and do everything you did before, shake people's hands, give people hugs, is that we might still respond like we have a rubber ball around us. Now, you all know me. I've responded like I have a rubber ball around me my whole life when it comes to getting a hug. Okay, now you know that about me. But I'm worried about the rest of you. I'm worried about everybody else, that we're going to be afraid when that time comes to come together once again. I'm not necessarily sure how that fits, so I just think it's important to say out loud. In this scripture today, in this gospel today, Jesus calls Philip with simple words, "Follow me." Nathanael receives Philip's invitation to come and see, and he goes and finds Jesus. And he has this interesting encounter with Jesus. Jesus says, how did you get to know me? And Jesus says, well, I saw you under the fig tree. And that's enough for Nathanael to say, well, that's pretty amazing that you know something about me just because you saw me under the fig tree. And Jesus says, hey, there's a lot more exciting stuff going to happen down the road. Just wait and see. But I think what's hopeful in the midst of that, when the ordinary things of life seem to be the things that are the most normal right now, washing the dishes, doing the laundry, whatever it might be in your home that you kind of do from day to day, is that we see in this calling that God meets people, Jesus meets people, calls people in ordinary places, doing ordinary things. Nathanael wasn't doing something amazing, and Jesus is like, that's the guy I want on my team. He sees him sitting under the fig tree and says, that's the guy I want on my team. And in the midst of these ordinary moments, in the midst of this time when we aren't quite sure what's solid, what's real, what's true, I think it's important that we turn back to the words that we heard in Psalm 139. And I want to end with some of these words. And I'm going to use verses that we didn't read this morning that are part of the larger psalm as well. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. Search me out, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my restless thoughts. Look well whether there be any wickedness in me, and lead me in the way that is everlasting. However you may be called by God, we have a promise from God that God knows us. God knows our strengths. God knows our weaknesses. God knows our inmost thoughts, our hopes, our dreams, our failures, our fears. And yet God calls us into relationship with Him. God calls us to be disciples. God calls us to be ones to invite others to come and see, to be curious, to be amazed, to be wonder-filled of what God is doing. And we pray. We pray in the midst of all of this that God can help us to receive this call. Help us to find those around us that will help us to discern that call. And help us to respond by calling others. Amen.